Here she was, isolated from the world, cut off, beaten down, abused, used, and spent. Salvation was coming down the street, and there was something separating her from that. It was a million voices of fear crying out inside of her, don't do it. Don't risk it. Don't do it. What if somebody sees you? What if somebody recognizes you? And as you're trying to press through that crowd to get to him, they start crying out, there she is. She's unclean. Run. And call the police or call the guards and imagine the humiliation and the embarrassment. You're only trying to touch the master and here he comes and suddenly someone sees you and recognizes you and calls you out and shuts you down. And I'm sure inside of her, how many people know that that we're called to witness to others, to the lost, to share the gospel? Anybody? A couple. Well, you're supposed to. Isn't that what the Word of God says? How many people are nevertheless terrified at the thought of doing it? How many people have to fight through that fear to do what God has called you to do? Do you know what that terror feels like when somebody says, okay, we're going, here's your tracks. Multiply that by about 150. Because that's the voices inside of her that were screaming out and saying, no, it doesn't make sense. Are you an idiot? What are you doing? You can't go in that crowd. You can't go and touch him. I mean, even worse, I mean, what if you touch him and he becomes unclean? Because the Word of God at that point says whoever touches that person or where they sat or where they lay down would become unclean. Here he is. He's going to Jairus' daughter who's about to die. This man's little girl is on the verge of death. Jesus is going to heal her. What if you touch him and he becomes unclean? And what if it costs that little girl her life? How dare you have the audacity to go and presume upon him because of your inconvenience? Can you hear the voices inside of her shutting her down, rationalizing against her, trying to talk her out? And I'm sure the enemy is handing her ammunition right and left. Yeah, yeah, listen to that. Did you hear what he said? Don't go see Jesus. What are you, crazy? That girl had a fight on her hands. And she was getting beat down. But it amazes me, the faith that Jesus commended, that the faith that was enough to spring up inside of her and stand against that onslaught of doubt and fear. Fear is the greatest weapon the enemy has. And he will fling arrows of fear at you right and left to keep you from doing what God has called you to do, from the inheritance that God has set before you. Faith is a fight. It was a fight for that woman to lay hold of eternal life. It was a fight for her to lay hold of the healing that she sensed in her spirit was right there coming down the street. She had to fight the voices of fear on the inside and she had to fight the voices of religion on the outside. Because when you consider, I mean, what Moses said was just a shadow of what Christ really was the substance of. All of those laws, all of those regulations were just shadows of what we have in Christ in person. And it's interesting, when you look at the Old Testament, if you have somebody who's holy and they touch somebody who's unclean, the holy person becomes unclean. But guess what? In the New Testament, I love this. When you have Jesus, who is the Holy One of God, whoever he touches, either directly or through his people, when he touches them, they become transformed and they then become holy. I love our covenant, man. We have a better covenant under God. Oh, man. And the kingdom of God was walking down the street surrounded by a crowd. And something inside of that woman said, I have got to risk it. I don't care. I don't care. I have nothing to lose. I am going for it. I'm going to touch that. She said that's probably why she didn't just go over and like grab him around the shoulder. She just wanted to like sneak up, you know, like Bill Cosby talking about sneaking through the little snakes, you know. You didn't have that record. Anyway, Yeah, long back in the day. You know, just kind of sneak out, put the toe out, just kind of sneak out, and maybe just see if she could just barely touch the hem of his garment. How could anybody protest? How could anybody back me down from that? I'm not going to grab him. I'm not going to wrestle him to the ground. I just want to, if I can just somehow make contact and just touch the hem. I know in my soul of souls, I'm going to be made well. And so she did. And as soon as she did, as soon as that contact was made, bam! Somebody say, bam! Bam! Jesus said, I felt the power flow out of me. Who touched me? His disciples said, what are you talking about? You're walking through a crowd. We can barely touch you for the crowd. You're talking about who touched you? But that woman, by faith, reached out, touched the hem of his garment, and touched Jesus. And the power literally exploded out of him. And immediately, the flow of blood was stopped. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Praise God. So in order to lay hold of eternal life, we got to fight. We got to fight past the voices of fear. When Jesus said, who touched me? It said the woman, fearing and trembling. She was still afraid. She didn't have the Bible to look back at. She was wondering, oh man, I think it feels like it worked, but I hope I didn't make him unclean. I hope I didn't do something wrong in the process. I didn't want to break the machine, you know, for everybody else. And when Jesus said, who touched me? She probably thought, oh no, the gig is up. My cover is blown. I've been found out. And what did he say to her? You find it. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in what? Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Praise God. So first of all, if we're going to lay hold of eternal life, we got to fight. We've got to what? Next one. Oh, thank you. We got to lay hold of eternal life. I guess it would help for me to read it. Fight the voice of fear. And fight the voice of religion. Because those two things will shut you down cold from laying hold of the promises of God. I ought to say, fight the voices of fear and the voices of religion. Praise God. Okay, moving on. Let's look at the main event. What battle did this man have to fight? Let's talk about that. Mark 5:35. I'm sorry. Yes. 5:35. Here they are. They've gotten started. The woman comes up, touches his garment. Power explodes. She gets healed. He sends her off in peace, and then all of a sudden in verse 35 it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? In other words, hey, why cause any more fuss or commotion? Why even bother? Jesus could have helped with some things, but he can't help with this. She's dead. It's too late. There's no hope now. Don't trouble him anymore. Just accept it. Obviously, be reasonable. Obviously, it's not God's will for your daughter to have lived. So just accept it, move on, and go about your business. Thank God that when that happened and when they said those things, in verse 36 it says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe. Fight, in other words. Put up your dukes. Don't receive that. Don't accept that. Fight. Fight the voice of unbelief. That's my next point. In order to lay hold of eternal life, we have to fight the voice of fear, fight the voice of religion, and fight against the voice of unbelief. Because we are all plagued by that. It amazes me how much unbelief still lurks inside of me. And sometimes how God brings it out. It just amazes me. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm just being reasonable. I'm just being rational. And I hear the Holy Spirit in that still small voice whispering, John, you're being unbelieving is what you're believing. I don't know if you guys have ever had that battle. Any of you ever still wrestle with unbelief at all? You know, man, be reasonable, be rational. Now, I'm not saying that every person who dies is meant to be raised short of the resurrection. I'm not saying that, you know, we ought to stand in front of the cemetery and every time a hearse comes in the door, stop the car, open it up and raise the person out of the dead. Scripture says it is appointed unto men once to die. You've got a date coming on the calendar. You may not be on your calendar, but it's on God's calendar. You have a date, and short, unless Jesus comes back and raptures you out of here first, you have a date with death. And one day, when that day comes, you're going. But this was a little girl who ought to have had years more of her life. She's a member of a godly family, this little poor helpless girl who should have had not only years more to life, but get this, Jesus had already started to head for their house. He was already en route. God had already initiated this and begun to set the wheels in motion for her healing. And Jesus never missed the voice of his Father. He only ever did what he saw his Father doing.